chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. A real simple title for my message tonight, the gospel. The gospel. Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. Paul's writing to the church at Rome, and he says this. He says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I have a very straightforward message tonight, and it's about the gospel, because that's what it's all about. There is no greater need for man than the gospel. The gospel is man's greatest need, because without the gospel and accepting the gospel, he is eternally lost in his sin, separated from God in eternal darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Folks, that is the church's biggest thing, because it's man's biggest need. The gospel is God's greatest message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's the greatest story ever told about the greatest gift ever given from the greatest God. But the gospel is the Christian's greatest challenge. It is a commandment for us. But as I was preparing for this, I looked out for some surveys. And it says here that according to a survey, more than half, or 58%, churchgoers feel comfortable in effectively sharing their faith. However, most, 78%, have not shared that faith with anyone over the last 6 months. Okay? Additionally, more than half, 59%, say they haven't invited anyone to church in that same time frame. Another survey found that half of practicing Christians, 52%, strongly agree they personally have a responsibility to tell others about their religious belief. But in a follow-on survey to Barna, they basically said it's the church's responsibility, not an individual responsibility, to share the gospel. That's a challenge for each and every one of us. It's a commandment. We have to break this cycle. So the gospel is man's greatest need. The gospel is God's greatest message, and it is our greatest challenge. See, there is a culture that is associated with the gospel. The first thing that we see in this text that we have is that in the culture of the gospel, there needs to be conviction. Each and every one of us needs to be convicted to do this. He says here in verse 14, he says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is. He is understanding this conviction. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, he expressed this. He says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. We need more than that. We need more like that today. Why did the early church grow so vigorously? Because people spread the good news. Why are we struggling today? Because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. So the culture of the gospel is we need a conviction to share God's word. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the first thing is conviction. There is commitment that's required. We have to change the culture in order for this to go further. There needs to be commitment to the task. He says, as much as this in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. You know, Paul wanted to go to places that hadn't heard. He says in Romans chapter 15, verses 19 and 20, through the mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Iconium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build another on another man's foundation. Spreading the gospel is not in here. Spreading the gospel is out there. And don't think that there's people out there who haven't heard. America is not a Christian nation. They're Christian in name only at best. And there's people that have never heard. There's people that never heard. And so we need to be committed to the task. We need to be committed to the end. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, Paul is telling everybody as he's going to Jerusalem. He says, but none of these things move me. Everybody said, don't go there. Don't go there. Today we have a culture that says, don't talk about Jesus. Don't talk about the gospel. He says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You don't retire from saving people, from witnessing to people. Ronnie this morning in his Sunday school lesson talked about a 95-year-old man that couldn't speak Spanish, and he was doing everything he could to witness to his caregivers. Don't think you can do it. You can't do it. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. So the culture of the gospel is that we, first of all, we have to have conviction. The second thing is we have to have commitment to the task and to the end. And then we have to have courage. We just flat have to have courage. In our text it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. See, when Paul got saved, it changed his life. And in Acts chapter 9, it talks about what happened in Damascus. And then it talked about what happened when he came down to Jerusalem. And in Acts chapter 9, verses 27 to 29, it says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. You know why? Because when Paul showed up, everybody ran away. They didn't trust him. They didn't trust him. Okay? The Jews tried to kill him. Let him down in a basket on the wall. He says, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Remember a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the Holy Spirit and being filled by the Holy Spirit, and that the room shook, and people spoke the word of God with boldness. And in verse 28 it says, and he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. And it didn't bother Paul. He says, I'm going to preach the gospel. It's the culture. It's a culture of being convicted to do this. We're not going to do it unless we're convicted. It's a culture of being committed. We're not going to do anything unless we put our mind to it. You know, Christ said, anyone who's put their hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. We need to be committed to it. And then we need to have the courage. He says, if you speak me before men, I'll confess. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. So we see here the culture of the gospel. Then we need the content of the gospel. I want to give you another gospel presentation right now. And we're going to use the word gospel. And we're going to talk about the gospel story here. You know, there's the ABCs, you know, admit, believe, and confess. Okay? There's all sorts of things. But it'll never happen unless we do it. No one ever gets saved unless we speak. It says, for how can they hear without a what? Unless there's a preacher. So, the content of the gospel, for G, God created us to be with him. Out of all the world's religions, we have a transcendent God that came into his creation and basically wanted to have a personal relationship with us. In Genesis chapter 3, he's walking in the garden looking for Adam and Eve. Okay? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. See, the beginning of the gospel is that God created man. God created man. But we know the story of the fall, and our sin separates us from God. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And our sin will bring judgment. The judgment that's talked about here is in 120 years, there'll be a worldwide flood. But Noah found grace in the sight of God. Sin will bring judgment. And judgment without Christ will bring destruction. So God created us to be with him. God created us to have a relationship with him. Our sin broke that relationship. And God has got a plan to restore that, to be it like new. If any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Old things passed away. But our sin separates from us from God. Sin cannot be removed by good works. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So we see G-O-S, okay? G-O-S and P, paying the price of sin. Jesus died and rose again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, it says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. There it is, folks. This is simple. We just have to be convicted and committed and have the courage to do this. So God created us to be with him. Our sin separates us from God. Sin cannot be removed by good deeds. Paying the price of sin, Jesus died and rose again. Everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. John chapter 6, verse 47. Jesus talks to the crowd and says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Oh, folks, we need to believe. We need to tell people to believe. And then L, life that's eternal means that we will be with Jesus forever in heaven. He says, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you into myself, that there you will be with me for what? Ever. Ever. Revelation chapter 22, verse 5, it says, and there shall be no night there. Okay? And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The they are those who believe. Amen. The they are those who believe. Well, quickly, there's the consequences of the gospel. It gives mankind a choice. We all have the same choice. The first one is, if believed, we have the promise in Romans 16, 1, verse 16, this part, last part of that. For it is the what? The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And it doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what country you're from. It doesn't matter what sex you are, what gender you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It's the power of God unto salvation. Because God gave his only son so that we could live through him. But if denied, 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, judgment's coming. And in verse 8 it says, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Christ said in Matthew chapter 7, he says, to be cast into utter darkness, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, do we embrace the culture of the gospel? Are we convicted to do this? I hope that maybe tonight I've encouraged you to get back on track. It's one thing to be convicted. It's another thing to be committed to it. And then it's a third thing to have the courage to do this. Do we understand what the gospel is? We had it right there. The consequences of the gospel are eternal. You either believe it and you're with God eternally. You refuse it and deny it and you're away from God eternally. And that is hell, folks. Eternal separation from God. The gospel. You've heard it. Do you believe it? Are you sharing it? Only you can answer that question. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation. Father, I pray if someone here has not heard the gospel, they've heard it tonight, Lord. How you died on the cross, you were buried, you rose again the third day. They've heard that it's the power of God to salvation, to everyone that believes. Father, I pray that you just take away their unbelief and help them believe your word. Father, help us, Lord, tonight to believe your commandment and to follow it, to have the courage to speak, to have the commitment to go, to have the conviction that there's a need. Father, there's a lost and dying world. We ask that you just give us the compassion to go out and share your word. Be with us, time of invitation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.